This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Tell us who your outfits by for those of us that need to.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, I believe these are Stella McCartney pants, and this is a little top by Juicy. Thanks for asking. I can't believe I know the answer. I'm so
juicy.
Juicy.
Yeah.
Like that, those juicy girls, they're going to take over the world.
Really?
Yeah.
One of the things that your writer-director talked about was this movie Interruptus, the idea that this movie had to wait such a long time to get released.
Uh-huh.
And part of it was because of your commitments to other things, Alias, family, life. how do you approach sort of having this movie caught in this suspended animation for so long? Does it make any difference?
I hope not. I think it's still a great story. I don't think it matters when it comes out. It was never, certainly for lack of anyone's enthusiasm. It was, I think, because of certainly my enthusiasm that I wanted them to wait. Because I knew if it had come out when we first talked about last April, they wanted it to open the last week I'd be shooting Alias, which couldn't be moved because of our air date, which was so emotional for me. I mean, even talking about it in the meeting, when they first start talking about it, I said, well, it'll be my last day. And I was... I mean, right? Wasn't I just in hysteria? And so it would have been that. And I had a 2-month-old baby. Or by then, she was 3.5, 4 months old. And I just knew, and I was kind of pulled to the brink just by going to work at all, which at Alias, they were being very kind to me. I was working 8-hour days. I was with her most of the time. She was at set with me. But traveling with her when she was that new, and I was a first-time mom, it just... The whole thing kind of overwhelmed me, and I didn't want to short shrift Alias, and I didn't want to short shrift the movie. So that's kind of how my part of the decision was made. And now I'm just so happy because I can be here and feel good. I had a good night's sleep and talk to all of you guys.
Why this particular character? I mean, why this particular story? Did it mean something to you personally when you read this script?
Well, there are always hooks that kind of draw you in, but Susanna Grant's writing is so beautiful. The first time I read it, I knew I had to do it, and she asked me to do it. I was beyond excited, and something happened where we had to wait a year, and I just said, I can't let anyone else play this role. It's my role. Please wait for me. And she said, okay. And they waited for me. So this has been Interruptus a couple of times. But so the writing itself is just so beautiful and speakable and playable and real. It's something you just don't get to do. You either are doing a comedy where you're really pushing for the comedy and finding the funny, or you're doing a drama where everything is really maudlin and... this is the balance that kind of follows our own life patterns. It just felt to me like something that was true. And the things that attracted me to the character were things, for example, that she had seen her fiancé as this prince on a white horse, and the idea of black and white, and that... She only saw good in him, even when he at some point tried to say, hey, there's something I need to talk to you about. She didn't want to hear it. She wanted to live in her fantasy. And in going through the hardest thing in her life, she grew up and she was able to learn about the gray, which, P.S., it's her name. So I'll give you a little hint.
Very subtle.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say this is also... What interested me about the character is she's going through the processes of grieving, the stages of grieving, and of healing. Did that strike you when you read the script?
Yes, particularly because you can go through... you can lose someone, or you can lose your idea of someone, which I think was as hard for her as losing Grady himself, was losing her idea of Grady. So she had to grieve doubly, you know, not just for the... loss of her wedding, and you know, in the very beginning of the movie, her wedding flowers are being brought up to the house, and she's standing there at his funeral, looking out, just imagining herself in that dress and all the things that were supposed to be happening that day. I mean, just on a girl level alone, and then the fact that the man himself, her partner and her best friend, her boyfriend of forever, the only way she knows life, that he's gone, and then her idea of who he was, that that he was this straightforward, straight and narrow guy who only loved her and never cheated on her, that that has to go away too. But you can go through all of that, and with the help of friends and with your own introspection and whatever growing, you can come out better and stronger. And that is something that interested me very much.
How tough was it for you to leave Sydney behind? And what are the challenges for you to find a female character that is as strong and as complicated and as almost diverse as
Well, I was ready. I mean, you know, 5 years of something. I think we all felt exactly the way we were supposed to feel at the end of Alias. We were all heartbroken. I mean, you've never seen a closer cast or a group of crew, or it really was the best place to work. And we all say that now when we see each other. There was that loss, but at the same time, we really felt like we had told the story. We didn't know what else there was to tell. We felt like we had done it justice. So it wasn't like, oh gosh, we wish this was going on another year. But it was still, I still get emotional about it. JJ just gave all of us for Christmas this huge leather-bound book of pictures, starting with the pilot. I can hardly even talk about it. I can't look at it without crying, because it's just, that's, there are our lives, especially when the crew are, he put some of the crew in there. And I miss them. I talk to them a lot.
Do you keep any wigs or costumes?
No, I'm not. I just don't care about that stuff. So I don't know where all those wigs are. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars of wigs that only fit my head that are floating around Los Angeles. But no, I'm sure they're in a Disney warehouse somewhere.
And find a character, sorry, I didn't get this thing out.
Oh, well, that's because I forgot. I got interested in my own story. Will I find another character? Yeah, the lucky thing is, you know, there are great writers out there, and it's just finding the character that fits you, and then you have to get the job, and you know, there are a lot of things that has to happen, but this was definitely a character that I felt as strongly as I felt about Sydney.
Is this a female sensibility, this film? And I want to background that with the idea that in classic Hollywood, in the golden era, all the women's directors were gay men, like George Cukor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they were famous for having, you know, understanding how women talk, how mm-hmm, women feel, mm-hmm. how women interact.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there is that sensibility now with people like Susanna Grant?
Yeah, not just with Suzanne. I mean, JJ certainly isn't gay, but he can write women like nobody's business. I mean, they're just people who get a female vibe. And Susanna, without a doubt, that was one of the things I loved about making this movie. It was, we just had girl heaven. There was Jeno Topping, this wonderful producer who is smart and to the point and no bullshit. And then there's Susanna, who is this incredible writer who, in the middle of the scene, if it wasn't working, you could kind of say, what I feel like I should be saying, Susanna, is this, and what I'm trying to get across is this. And she'd say, oh, well, you're right. Let me just take a minute. And she would, literally, you'd think she'd just gone to the bathroom or something, and she would come back and have reworded it in such a way that it was all clear and there. And so that's kind of magical to have somebody who has that ability right there every day, all the time. And just her warmth and kind of her calmness and her stillness. I mean, normally sets, at some point, there's a blow up. Like, the director will be like, come on, guys, we've got to go. That never happened with her. It could not have been more just zen and chill. I'm sure you got from talking to her. She's very...
the girl of the cast of mostly guys... did your relationship with your cast members sort of mirror what you saw on screen with Gray and the roommates?
There's nothing better than being a girl in the middle of a group of guys. You know what I mean? It's true. And for women, as hard as it is, because there are so many more men's roles than there are women's, typically that's the way it is. Once you get there, you have this big group of guys to play with, and they're kind of, they treat you as one of them. And so I loved it. And did my relationships with them mirror the ones with the characters? No, not really. I mean, it's hard to think that, because there was romance and intrigue and tension, and there was none of that, certainly. But was there banter and friendship and them treating me like a dude? Yes, and that was heaven. But although I have to say, I think my favorite, well, Kevin Smith is so great, but my other favorite thing about the movie was Juliette Lewis, who I think is she a genius or what? She is so funny and so beyond. Yeah. Yeah, and the first day of rehearsal, she came in and she was like, I can't do this. This doesn't make sense to me. Why am I doing this? I don't think I should be doing this. I can't do this. And then she would start to talk, and I would just be like, oh, you're a genius. I think I love you.
Does motherhood kind of determine the kinds of work that you're going to be doing, and how much do you weigh the validity of a project to clearly your new role as a mum now?
The validity of a project? Well, I mean, it'll determine what I do in that, just timing-wise. I don't think I could do two huge things back-to-back anymore. I couldn't do a single lead on a one-hour drama anymore. So just on a very practical level, and then I have to really love something a lot to be willing to not be with my little girl every day. I will have had 6 months straight with her before I go back to work, and that is heaven on earth. But it's great because I'm not, I have it just so good right now. I'm afraid if I even tell you, it'll get screwed up. But because I'm home with her and I get filled up with her, and I'm definitely the primary caregiver at all the time. But I do have enough meetings for my production company that I find really fun and fascinating, and they use my mind in a different way, that I do get out of the house a certain...
What is the biggest surprise that you found about Marvel that you weren't expecting? Or the biggest...
I didn't. I thought it would be easier. I thought the pull from her would not be as huge as it is. I thought it would be easier for me to work, that I'd be like, oh, it's fine, she's here, she's happy, and that actually isn't the case. She is fine. I'm the one who is a wreck if I don't get to be with her. So,
how are you staying so well rested then?
She is, right now, we had 4 teeth come in at once, that was a rough month, but she's a pretty good sleeper, and so... You know, if you crash out at 9 o'clock, it's not so bad.
In terms of family, how difficult was it doing the kingdom offshore?
I was here. I was in Arizona.
So you didn't have to go over to the Middle East?
No, they did go, but I wasn't in that scene, so I didn't go.
Do you feel that you... Hi.
Hi.
So far away.
Hello.
Do you feel that, at this point in your life, you know, from the outside, you have it all. You have a great career, you have movies,
I have those moments in the middle of the night, of course. I don't think I'd be human if I didn't. But I really try just to exist in it and to be feel how happy I am and just enjoy it. I mean, life is always going to have hard spots, ups and downs, whatever. So what's the point if you're in one of those spots where there's a balance and there's happiness and joy and health, and if you don't at least appreciate it and take advantage of it? That was kind of our thing on Alias, when things would get really tough, as they do on any series. We would always say to each other, let's just appreciate this now, because when it's over, we're going to look back and say, oh, remember how great it was to all be together. And at least if we just know that we're appreciating it while it's happened, we won't feel like it was wasted, even though we can think it sucks today at the same time. And I mean, my life doesn't suck today at the same time, but I just mean in general, that's kind of my attitude. Just love it. Go ahead.
Who do you play in the kingdom?
I play Janet Mays. She is, an FBI agent, and she's one of four. There's Chris Cooper, Jamie Foxx, Jason Bateman, and myself. And it is so much fun to be with those three guys. And we're going to Saudi Arabia to investigate a terrorist attack against a Western civilization within the kingdom.
Some actors like working with certain directors, but often Greg Grumberg loves working with JJ. Have you been contacted at all to work with JJ again in the near future, maybe in Star Trek or anything?
Yeah. JJ's contacted by me every day saying, what are you doing? What are we doing next? Now what do you want to do? Hi, it's me. How are you? What are you doing? I'm outside his house with coffee in the morning. Hi, JJ. It's me. No, I don't think that I have been contacted by JJ yet. But, you know, he's one of those great guys. You know, life is long. You know that... he has a core group of actors that... How great was Kerry Russell in Mission 3? I hope that someday he and I will get to do something together again, because anybody that works with him, he's just their favorite favorite.
The character's quite reserved and held her emotions in. When it comes to, are you quite open book when it comes to emotions as well?
Yeah, more than Gray, definitely.
Vocal,
I just cry more.
You have one of these, you know, talker that you talk about it and you're...
Sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes it's harder and sometimes it's, you can't help but babble away about how you're feeling about something. But Gray, one of the things that I liked about her was that she was going through this hard time and she was trying to resolve. I don't think she let herself have a ton of emotions. So she's trying to figure out how to go through the grieving process without it being too messy. And in the end, it kind of is. It's just a little messy.
What have you seen in movies as a producer now? That were role or TV or whatever that you didn't see as an actor. What kind of roles are you looking for?
We are having a blast with this, with our production company. My producing partner Juliana and I, and we're just amazed at the development process and how much you can be a part of a script changing and how much you can be a part of a story. And you know, waking up in the middle of the night and thinking, well, what if in the third act this happens, you know, and getting to, we had, you know, 3 meetings this week, each of them were 3 hours long about one script that won't happen forever, but we're just kind of in this really intense phase with it, and I think I will look at every script that I do differently from now on, because I'll see that it's not just set in stone. I've never really tried to affect a change on a script that I've been given. I'm a good little girl, and you give it to me, and I go and say my lines, and now I'm going to be a terror.
The president said that you studied Boulder, you looked into Boulder when you set there. Are you like a big researcher before every role?
Yeah, of course. It makes it more fun, it makes it more rich for yourself, and hopefully for what you see, although you probably don't see me acting out that I know what Boulder is, but yeah, I did. I studied everything I could, from the grieving process to Boulder to the Green Party to what her wedding would have been like, you know, just to have it all in your mind somewhere.
Do you know what you're doing next?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm going to do this little project called Juno that Jason Reitman is going to direct, who did Thank You for Smoking, which he did such a great job on.
It is another wry sort of...
A little bit. It's this wonderful script that I have been waiting for it to come together for the past year, and when Jason came onto it, I was so excited. I was so excited they asked me to be in it, and I have a small role. I'm only working a couple weeks, and it's just cool. It's called Juno, and it's written by this kooky woman named Diablo Cody. Have you ever heard of her? She just decided randomly to become a stripper for a year. It isn't about that, but you should look her up. She's pretty funny. Anyway, her personality infuses the whole script, so it's going to be a blast. I play a woman who can't have children and who is wanting to adopt.
One of the things that's interesting about this movie, Catch and Release, is that you're very reactive. You were talking about Gray's, you know, approach to life. You have to react to everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I'm curious if the acting process is different for you when you have to react and hold things in than when you're proactive, like you would have been in Aliens.
In an action.
And I'm assuming that in The Kingdom, for example, it's a proactive. Mm-hmm. You're in there, you're, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. you're causing things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Could you contrast those styles for you?
It makes it much more... not that it isn't always, but you have to pay more attention to the part of you that's listening to your cast, you know, in the scene, you become the listener, and what you do is much more about what they do then. Does that make any sense? That kind of lame. But it is kind of the truth. You're at the mercy of the actors that you're working with, and luckily... You know, Tim and Sam and Kevin, kooky Kevin, and Juliet were all great.
Kevin is best friends with your husband. How involved is he in your normal day-to-day life?
I think they mostly just write hateful emails back and forth to each other. That's, from what I can tell, they just...
You ever read them?
No. I just hear, you know, Ben laughing to himself when he's returning one, so kind of maniacally alone, yeah.
Ben is profane as Kevin is when it comes to that kind of stuff, but...
That's probably why I don't read them. He isn't around me, but I have a feeling with Kevin. Yeah.
As a good girl, like you said, sticking to the script, what's it like to work with an actor like Kevin Smith, who's so improvisational? Do you react to that?
It was good for me, and it was a blast. He never once said the lines that were on the page. I don't know if Susanna told you this, but she would say during a scene, please just once do it like I've written it. I mean, she's an Academy Award-nominated writer. Do what she wrote, you know. But he couldn't, and every now and then he'd do it, and he blatantly would say, just give me a line reading. Just tell me how you want me to say it, because your line doesn't make sense to me. And she would be like, oh, Kevin. And she'd do the line for him, which is like the no-no of directing and acting. And he would do it, and he'd be hysterical. So he was... he was a novelty on set.
Can you keep a straight face when you're working with him? I mean, it must be very difficult.
I'm bad about keeping a straight face anyway. I very rarely keep a straight face a whole day. So, no, I can say that I did not keep a straight face with Kevin Smith, nor did I with anyone else.
You miss the action stuff? I mean, the action-made kind of roles. I mean, you ever want to go back and do that again?
I mean, I do like it. I do think it satisfies this part of me that I didn't even know was there. And I like the physicality of it in general. I like roles that are physical. I like physical comedy. You know, I don't really care. But the action per se, not necessarily, but the roles that tend to have action in them, that if they're well done, I like. And I love my stunt double so much that I'm always seduced by getting to be with her.
In many years, you have to train yourself to do anything. You have to change your body. You have to push yourself. Now that you don't have to do that, you do it just for taking care of yourself or something that you need. It doesn't even give you a lot of energy.
Well, that's so true. At first, when I finished Alias, I didn't work out for a long time. And I didn't lose my baby weight for a long time. It was just kind of annoying because I just didn't want to. I didn't want to take that hour away from her and work out. Or if she was sleeping, I was exhausted or wanted to just sit and veg or take a nap or something. And then finally this summer, I noticed my own energy had shifted because I wasn't taking care of myself the way that I'd become really accustomed to. So then I just got on a treadmill and started getting back in shape. And I still am. It's slower than I thought it would be because I just am not... there's something bigger in my life now. So I might do 20 minutes where I would have done 45 before or something like that.
Although you and Ben have appeared on screen before together. Now that you're married, now that you have...
Hold, please.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you're good.
It's not my first picnic, babe.
Sorry.
Training with Gash. Now that you guys are married, you have a baby together, is there a tendency to say we want to maintain a work-life separation and not appear together on screen again, or does that come into play at all?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it is somebody's got to raise the kids. So if we're both at work, that's a bummer for her. But yeah, there's no rush. We're not looking for anything to do together.
Jeff, was there a defining moment when you realized that you were famous?
Yeah, it was there was a defining moment where I realized it. No, I went shopping. This is a long time ago. I've told this story before, but it was a big moment in my life. It was the year Alias had come out, and I hadn't been out of in the world once since July when it started, and it was December, and I went Christmas shopping, and it was freaky and terrifying. I mean, in July, I could have gone shopping and nobody would have seen me or said anything. It wouldn't have been a big deal at all. But in December, in that short amount of time, I couldn't even take a step without somebody stopping me and picturing da da da. And I just never, that had never happened to me before. So that was a defining.
How have you coped with fame since that period of time? Are you much more sort of level-headed about it now that you might have been at the beginning?
Well, I keep my knickers on. Oh, great. Sorry. She probably just... I have a strange relationship with it. I think most people do. It's not a comfortable way to live your life. There are great things about it, and it's also, you know, it's one of these things. But my life is really great, so I find it hard to complain too much about it.
Last question,
Jennifer,
please.
I just wanted, two actors in the household, and you're also into producing. I wonder, how do you manage to keep, you know, Hollywood out of your daily life routine? Do you have a rule at home that you don't talk about the job or something like that?
Yes, we have a rule. No, no, that would be awesome. No, don't say that. Don't tell me about your day. Ah, stop. It's pretty easy when there's a baby. You basically talk about the baby.